samach, you feel the camaraderie, you feel the achdus of everybody together, there's nothing that's as special, and you should continue it, because it's a very beautiful sus. You know, this year we're going to say the Shia on Hilchus Challah. And actually, I would ask the Oilun, who's here with us, to guide me through the Shia. So there are many subjects to speak about the Hilchus Challah. It's not such a common subject that is spoken about. Usually the women are far more adept at the halachas of Challah, and they're the ones who are asking those questions. But I would invite anybody here in the room, if you have any subject on Challah or any specific question, you can start asking the question, and then Ben Sashem will take the shear from there. So who wants to start off the subject? What's that?
Nowadays.
Challah nowadays. That's a great question. That's going to be the first question. We can start. Excellent question. If you learn the Hilchus Challah, Simon Shin Chav Beis, you're going to find out, that was a very well-placed question, you're going to find out that there's a difference in Challah in three stages in the history of the world. And then, therefore, Sue will speak about Challah nowadays. And that was the question that he asked. But let's talk about the history of Challah. There was a time, one moment, we'll get to the next question soon. There was a time when Challah was Madaraisa. When was that time that Challah was Madaraisa? Back in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Back in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you needed to have another rule. The other rule was, Bisman Sheroy Yoshveh Alel. You had to have those people in Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael. Then Challah was Midaraisa. Once Roiv of the people were not in Eretz Yisrael, and that happened in the time of Ezra, so from then on, Challah was not a Deraisa, but Challah suddenly became a Derabbanan. So if Challah then was a Deraisa, and then Challah in Eretz Yisrael thereafter turned into a Derabbanan, what is Challah for us here in Chutz La'aretz today? We refer to it as a second Derabbanan, Kedei Shaloi Teshaka Toiris Challah Yisrael. So to answer your question, Challah today is only here as a Derabbanan, that we shouldn't forget that there is a concept of Challah in the Torah. So can anybody here tell me, now it's my turn to ask the next question, now that we picked the first subject, what's the difference between Challah in the way it was, and what's the difference in the halacha of Challah the way it is today when it comes to Hilchus Challah? Oh, is anybody familiar with the answer to that question? Go ahead.
Nowadays,
yeah,
you earn the Trumah.
Right.
Back then, the Kohen ate the Trumah.
Oh, that's a great answer. That's actually the third answer I was looking for. That's going to be answer number three. So I just want to repeat what he said. Nowadays, you don't eat Challah. Nowadays, you actually burn the Challah. And I'm going to get to that in one moment. But before I get to that, I want to first discuss one more point. Back in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, does anybody know how much challah they used to take? It depends.
20,
50. A what?
Is it 40, 50,
a 24 50, or a 48? What did it depend on? Depends if you were a person privately at home, you took a 24. If you were a baker, how much did you take? A 48. Actually, back in the day, it was possible that you had to take two challahs. One challah to separate, one challah to give to the kohen, which is a complicated halacha. I don't want to go into that halacha right now. So, but today we stopped doing that. Why did we stop doing that today? Because today we have a concern. What's our concern today? Why we burn the challah? Maybe know why we burn the challah?
Tuma.
So let me share with you a little secret. A kohen today is allowed to eat challah. Believe it or not. Because the tumah that you're not allowed to eat challah has to be a tumah hayotze migufoy. What does it mean, a tumah hayotze migufoy? Tumah hayotze migufoy means like a balkeri, a zav, a zava, a nida. But if somebody is another tumah, even a tumah mace, if they're a kayim, they're allowed to eat challah bisman hazeh. That is the rabbanan de gechallah. So, as a matter of fact, if in the Mechaba, in Shulchan Aruch, it actually says, you take the challah and you give it to a kohen who does not have a tumah hayotze migufoy, waited the amount of time, he went to the mikveh, or you can give the challah to eat to a kayan, who is a katan, who is not of age to be roya keri. So it's possible to eat challah. Does anybody know why today we stopped giving challah to the kayan? Because there's a problem. Because we don't really know who is a kayan b'zman hazeh. As a matter of fact, the Vilna Goyim was a Bechor, and the Vilna Goyim was always concerned that the Bechor by Yisfidin Aben was not Miyachuse Kahuna. So every time he met a Kayan, he would take 5 slum out of his pocket and give it to him. That was the Vilna Goyim's practice, because he had a question, who is considered a Kayan today? Another interesting halacha, in today's day and age, when we take challah, what we do is we only separate a kezayis, not a 24th and not a 48th. And the reason we separate a kezayis, let's talk about the concept of the kezayis, because we burn the challah, so we want to have a shear for sreifas challah. And that's the Indian in the kezayis, that's what's brought in the Rambam. Okay, so we answered so far as follows. When we spoke about the history of challah, it's a great way to start the shear. Excellent question. The history of challah. We spoke about challah when it was the Raisa, when everyone was in Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about challah when it turned into the Rabbanan, when the people left Eretz Yisrael, when the people weren't all there. And then we spoke about challah the way it is today, in order that you shouldn't forget the concept of challah. Now, there are, again, you want to start with the next question already? No problem. What's the next question?
Challah measurement.
Challah measurement, yeah.
43.2 eggs.
You want to know what's the size of challah? 43.2
eggs.
2.2 eggs. A lot of cholesterol, right?
So now, if you took that amount, how do you calculate a fraction of an egg? How?
I'll talk to you about the fraction of an egg in a moment. But I want to tell you something. Everybody should have known that shear that he just said. You know why? Because what's the gematria of challah? 43, very good. And 43, and the fraction, what's the fraction? A chaymish of an egg, right? Why? Why? Because that's the hay of the challah. Excellent. So everybody knows the gematrias already by now. But I'm about to get to this in a moment. I want to tell everybody a story that took place, a true story. Who wants to hear a true story? If I didn't say true, I don't know whatever happened, but it wasn't, I'm going to tell everyone a true story. This is a true story. In real time, I want to know what every one of you would have done in this situation. When I was a teenager here in Flatbush, it was a Rebbe that we all davened in the shul. His name was the Sasregan Rebbe, Rabbi Rubin. Many of you knew him. Zecharia Lebracha. He was a wonderful, wonderful Rebbe. Everybody was very connected to him. And he used to gather all us teenagers every single year before Pesach to go bake matzahs. We used to go along with him. We had a matzah bakery in Williamsburg, baked matzahs, right? Now, actually, firstly, an interesting halacha. When do you usually take challah? Who knows? When do you usually take challah?
Once a dough, it means.
Once a dough, right? Actually, back in the day in Eretz Yisrael, they would usually take challah earlier. Why would they usually take challah earlier? Because the minute it mixed with water, what's the risk that you run? That the woman could become tameh, and then the challah could become tameh. But as the ages moved on, the lekatchila is to be makish challah minha isa, when it's a isa, and that was a pasuk that you all read, you know, not long ago. You learned it. Reishis harisa sechem, parshas shlach. I just read it. Okay. Now, when do you take challah from matzah, no pun intended. When do you take challah from matzah?
After it comes out.
After it's baked. Why do you take after it's baked? Why not earlier? Why? Because you don't want to wait even a moment while you're baking the challah, right?
You always 15 minutes.
Huh?
You don't want to ruin
the... You don't want to wait the time. You're in a rush. You don't want to do it then. So this rebbe once had a wonderful idea. He told us like this. He said, you know, there's a very special mitzvah that they have in the matzah bakery. The special mitzvah is... Right after the challah comes in the oven, out of the oven, they put the challah in a big basket, and they cover it, and they put it all together, and somebody in the matzah bakery goes over, and somebody goes and breaks off a piece of matzah, and he makes a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem L'Kenu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Nishana B'Mitzvaysa. What's the bracha? L'Hafrish, Challah, Min Ha'isa. Wow, three shitas. We all picked one. Okay, let's see why we picked that one. This, the Mechavis shita is, you say lahafrish truma. If you're a Sfaradi, you make the bracha lahafrish truma. And actually, if you learn the psukim and Parash Shlach, what do the psukim tell us? Reishis, Arisa Seichem, Chala, Tarimu. So it's Chala and Truma. So that's one possible bracha. The Mechavis says, or you make the bracha lahafrish Chala. What's the third possibility that Taz brings? Lahafrish Chala, Min Ha'isa. The Taz says he doesn't understand the people that make the bracha, Lahafrish Chala, Min Ha'isa, but somehow that's the bracha that everybody picked, the one that Taz doesn't understand.
When it's baked, when it's baked, it's not Min Ha'isa.
One moment. When you put up a mezuzah, you make a bracha? What's the bracha you make when you put up a mezuzah? L'kvayim mezuzah. Why don't you make a bracha l'kvayim mezuzah bedelis? Because the details of the mitzvah don't go into the bracha. Asher k'nisham mitzvayim mitzvado alatulas lulav. Why does it say alatulas lulav b'yadayim? Because it's not relevant. L'niach tefillin al hayat. Does anybody make such a bracha? You don't make such a bracha. Because the details of the mitzvah are never relevant. There happens to be this one mitzvah that the details of the mitzvah is relevant. Which bracha does everybody agree that you put the details of the mitzvah into it? What's that? Alatilas Yadayim. Okay. Luvin Esrig, no. Alatilas Luvin. All right, I'll tell you the answer. Simon Chav Ches and Yeridea. Simon Chav Ches and Yeridea, what you learn there is like this, that when you do Kisi Hadam, you say Asher Kedishonu B'mitzvoysa V'tzivonu, Lechaseis dam, I'm sorry, al kisi hadam be'ofa. So that's the only case when everybody agrees you speak about the detail of the mitzvah in the mitzvah. So let me tell you why. Because actually, it's not just the detail. Because there is an opinion that's brought in the Taz that you only yoitz in the mitzvah of kisi hadam if you have dirt below and dirt on top. If you only cover it with dirt, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So it's al kisi hadam be'ofa is the actual mitzvah. Okay? So that's the answer. So they all mitzvah zechad this bracha. I was in the middle of a story. I stopped in the middle of a story. So the Rebbe said to us like this. The Rebbe said, I have a plan. All of you are going to go home. You're going to bring matzah home. A very special mitzvah to bring home matzah. But you know what? Your mothers don't usually bake challah. So it's actually interesting. Back in our days, it was not that fashionable that women bake challah. Today, it's become more and more fashionable that women make challah. I just hear from the questions I get calls from women. We're about to do a challah bake, but we only have 39 women. Is it mutter to bake the challah? Huh? How do you answer such a question? I says absolutely not.
Why not?
Why not? I don't know. So you have to tell me first the inyan of 40, the inyan of 39. There happens to be, it's a very big inyan for women to bake challah. And what's the inyan for women to bake challah? The same inyan of women lighting candles Friday night. Because
Mishnah. The Mishnah.
The Mishnah. And what's the source of the Mishnah? Because other Marishan, Misa was nigs on him, Erev Shabbos. And when Misa was nigs on other Marishan, the Medrash says, he cover Oiroi Shel Oilam, Chava went and caused that the light of the world should be extinguished. Lefichach, therefore she gets the mitzvah that she lights candles. Did you ever see a woman that goes a Friday night that's married that doesn't light candles? Aisha's not home and she's a guest by somebody else. She's not mechuyev. But all women we know, the mahadah that light candles, if they're mechuyev or not mechuyev, they'll always light candles because that's their mitzvah. And the Be'er Halacha, in the first siman in Hilchos Shabbos, says, I don't understand. Challah is their mitzvah because there's another medrash. The medrash says, he cover. Chalosoi shel oilam. Ad Marishan was called the challah of the world. Why is Adam the challah of the world? Because Hashem formed him. Where did he form him from? By taking challah off the ground. So Hashem went, took challah off the ground. And what happened? And he formed Adam Marishan. So the women have three mitzvahs. Nida, Adlachas Haner, and challah. And on their mitzvahs, they're very, very medactic. As a matter of fact, this is the most fascinating halacha In the base Hillel, is a footnote on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Challah. A halacha he says in Hilchos Challah. Listen to this halacha that he says. The base Hillel writes like this. He says that there's a Ramon Shulchan Aruch that speaks about the following question. What would be the halacha if I walked into this shul and I came from out of town and I forgot to bring my tefillin? Can I walk in and take anybody's tefillin that I want and put them on without permission?
Yes.
Why yes? What's the principle? Nicha, lay, le'inish, le'mabit, mitzvah, le'noina. It's the principle that everybody's happy that mitzvah's done with their money. The Ramah says, what happens if I walk into a house? I see a woman who's in the middle of baking challah, and she went in the middle to the store shopping, and the dough is rising, and it's going to get burnt. It's going to get ruined. So what do? I quickly walk over, and I take challah, and I make a bracha, but I do the challah without her permission. So the Ramah says, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because everybody's willing to share mitzvahs. And therefore, since everybody's willing to share mitzvahs, no problem. It's wonderful to share the mitzvah. The Beis Hillel, who is a footnote written on the side of Shulchan Aruch, written in the 1600s, says, 1 minute, today I'm not so sure if that's the correct halacha. Why not? Because today women are so mahadah to bake challah. Even the besulois, the girls that don't have a chiyuv in making challah because they don't have their own homes, they go join their mothers to make challah together. Oh, if they're so makbet, then do the mitzvah. So then you see the makbet. So they're not willing to let somebody else do the mitzvah. So you see that in the 1600s already, they were fighting to do this mitzvah. As a matter of fact, there's a whole shach in Shulchan Aruch who struggles in Europe. The women wanted to do the mitzvah of challah. So what did they do when they wanted to do the mitzvah of challah? They would go into a bakery, and they would have the guy had the bakery. And just by the way that you understand, historically, they didn't always have a Yiddish bakery. They used to go into a Goyish bakery. And the Goyish bakery that used to bake the bread on the floor of the oven. So there was no oil smeared. There was no lard smeared. The ingredients were flour and water. And it wasn't considered pas akim. It was considered pas palter. Pas palter means the bread of the store. And the bread of the store, the halacha is, if we don't have comparable bread that's past Yisrael, we're allowed to eat it. And that's what they would do. So the Yiddish women used to go to the bakery, and they used to ask the Goyish baker, can I possibly take challah? And they would allow them to take challah, and then the Goy would bake it. And the Shach in Shulchan Aruch struggles. He says, I don't understand this halacha. How's that possible? It can't be. Why can't it be? Because it's a Goyish bread. And the Torah says, Reish Saris Vesechem. Only Jewish bread has a thing of challah. So how do you take challah from it? So the Shach comes up with a whole lumbus. The lumbus of the Shach is, since the guy knows that the yid is going to come and pay for the bread, therefore the guy is makna the bread to the yid. That's what he writes. What can yid is made? Shach says, since that becomes the standard, it belongs to the Jew already. So you see, they were always looking to do the mitzvah of challah. I can tell you when we were young children, not everybody did the mitzvah of challah. Go ahead.
How can you compare the challah to the that is Nicholai?
No, so that basically it's not Nicholai.
What would even be the challah? I mean, are you taking away the mitzvah from the person rather than just filling the
rest of the yeah, here they're going to lose it. They're going to lose it.
No, I'm saying, I'm with the base.
I hear what you're saying. I'll show you the remote side if you would like. I'm just wanting to bring the concept. But listen to what the Beis Hillel says. The Beis Hillel says there's so much bit. He says that what you should do is you should go in, and usually, who knows why we take challah when it's dough? Why don't we take challah after it's a bread? Everybody agrees, by the way, in halakha, if you forgot to take challah when it's dough, when do you take challah? When it's a bread. So why don't we do it? Because we're always concerned that you're going to forget to do it at the end. So that's the reason why we don't do it. So the Beis Hillel says like this. He says, go in, take a piece of challah, separate it, take a piece of foil, put it on the side of the bread, so it becomes a hekka. That when the woman comes home and she sees her baked bread, she'll know to be makrish challah later. That's what he writes. After the kaf, that's how much they will makbid on this halacha. So this Rebbe went, and the Rebbe said to us, you know what? Let's do something very special. Go home, and we're going to put an X on each box. We won't take challah in the bakery, and you'll do a favor for your mother that she gets home, she can be makrish challah. That was what he said. And we actually all went home. We did this very special mitzvah. And we went shul, yontif night. They were about to say halal. And one of the teenagers looks at the other teenager and says, By the way, did you tell your mother that she was supposed to take challah from the matzah that we're going to eat tonight? And the other one says no. The next one says no. And the next one says no. And before we turned around, as we were about to start halal and shul, we all realized that tonight, everybody's about to eat tefel when they make the bracha al achilas matzah. That's what happened. So we were trying to do a mitzvah, and suddenly everybody was about to eat tefel when it came to the night of Pesach. What do you do? Oh, so we had the first question of the shiur was a very good question. That question was, tell us about challah the way it was, and tell us about challah today. There are a few halachas in challah today that didn't exist challah in the old days. Challah in the old days, in when it was in the Raisa, or in Eretz Yisrael today, this makes a difference if the shaila happened in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael today, you have to be makrish to challah min ha'isa. In Chutz La'aretz today, where the whole concept of challah is what you can do today is you can eat and you can leave over at the end. So we quickly went and looked up the halacha, and that's what the oil did that year. That happens to be, there's a separate question. One of this beautiful Pesachei Teshuva and Cheschala, that one of the great Gedolim, this was his Shabbos Haggadah Drasha, a week before Shabbos, that was a Shabbos Shechol Be'erev Pesach. Now listen to the Drasha he spoke about. The drasha was like this. The drasha was that next Shabbos is Erev Pesach. Make sure that you take challah before Shabbos and burn it. Because if you don't, and you're going to be forced to take challah on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, what are you going to do with that challah? Think about it for a moment. What do you do with the challah? It's tevel, right? It's challah. You have to burn it. But you can't burn it because it's Shabbos Erev Pesach. It becomes a very complicated question. Okay, so that's just one very nice, you know, discussion in Hilchos Challah. Lou, you want to lead us on the next discussion in Hilchos Challah?
So I know if you're going to split up your challah, you're not keeping the whole thing. You're not tied in challah. A store, I know, is a different halacha, but for matzah, if a group goes and a group owns it, not a store and not an individual person, and then each person doesn't own the shear, why is the matzah bakery when there's a group chayiv and challah?
That's an excellent question, and I'll speak about that question in broad strokes, because I was told the shear goes here till 9:15, but if I was to answer that question properly, I would have to come back to say another whole shear. Let me just give it to you in very broad strokes, because it's an excellent question. But listen, in order for something to become a chuyiv and challah, you need to have a shear. The shear, as we discussed, 43, you know, today, and we discussed exactly what the shear was. It happens to be, in actuality, the shear is somewhere between 3 and 5 pounds. When you use a bag of flour that's between 3 and 5 pounds, you have to take challah. 3 is only a chuyiv of the rabbanon. 5 is a chiyuv midaraisa. So if you bake something and you use 3 pounds of flour, you have to be makrish challah, but you don't make a bracha. You bake something and you make 5 pounds of challah, 5 pounds of flour, you have to be makrish challah, and now you have to make a bracha. To continue with this halacha to answer your question, when you have a shear challah, you have to be makrish from that a shear challah. But there's a problem if when you make it is less than a shear challah, and you want to be mafresh from that on something else, then you have a problem of mafresh bin haptur alachiyat. That's the question that you ask, which is a problem. So the only way to take challah when you have two doughs that are not the shear, the way to do it is by connecting those two doughs. And how to connect them? Either you can connect them when they're doughs, or you can connect them thereafter by putting it in a basket, covering it in different ways of doing it. Generally speaking, if I have one dough that's a dough of shutfim, I'm a chuyiv in challah. However, when you have two shiurim and each one is less than a shear, that's when you have a problematic situation. So one of the situations which the shuvas speak about in great detail is you have a woman who makes challah, and what does she do thereafter? She takes them and she separates them and sends one challah to each of her daughters, and she separates it into many pieces. Or like they have today by the challah bakes, where they have one big dough and they break it into smaller batches and they give everyone to take challah. It's something that really has to be spoken through properly how to do it. Okay, it's a very good question. A little bit of a too detailed of a question to go through right now, but the ha'ora is a very good ha'ora. In the matzah bakery, generally, there's another discussion because you're not supposed to make a dough that's too large. So provided that the dough and actually it says in Hilchos Matzah that the shir you shouldn't make it more than is the shir challah. So that's where your question comes from. Generally speaking, once the isa becomes mechuyev, then all you need to do is capture everything in one basket that's mechuyev, and you take from there. It's very interesting that the truth is written throughout the generation when everybody used to come to the matzah bakery with their own flour, and then they were machbid to pull back their own flour, their own matzah, because they didn't mishlech. So it was a problem. So they were machbid on each other, so then how could you take the challah together? All of these questions are addressed. They're very gishmaka questions. I want to maybe discuss another few subjects on challah. Does anybody have any specific subjects they want to discuss?
You need
or
a basic
Roy Bistro. Go ahead. So that I don't want to talk about more. That I started to speak about. I spoke a little bit about that. I can't speak about that more. I want to speak about a different question, which the oil master. This is one question. If we have a shir and challah, we don't cover this question, then we're going to do a big disservice to the subject. But maybe the last subject. Maybe we'll talk about two more subjects. But this subject we must talk about. Can I ask you a question? What do you have to take challah from? I'm going to go through the list. Some people make bread. Some people make kakish cake. Sometimes you have marble cake and sponge cake and shlishkes and lakshen and knishes. What's the story? Which items do you have to take challah from? Which items don't you have to take challah from?
Anything that rises.
That's answer number one. What does that refer to as something that rises in Shulchan Aruch? We refer to that as really masoi. What does Gililasa Ava mean? It's a thick batter. It looks like bread. If it looks like bread, so then at its onset, it already became mechuyev in taking challah, except when your intent was to finish it in a way that it's not going to be like bread, like cooking it. For example, when you start off to make pasta, or when you start off to make lakshin, it's something that looks like dough. No question about it. But in such a case, right? In such a case, if you started off to make something that looks like dough, then the halacha would be that provided that you didn't intend to complete it like dough, you were mechuyev already at the onset. Now, how about if when you started off to make it, you had no kavana? So since it already looked like dough, you mechuyev al challah. That is another case. The other case is you make something called bilase raka. Bilase raka is like sponge cake, right? So now it doesn't look yet like lechem. The question now will be how you finish it. So if you finish it like a pancake, you don't have to take challah. But if you take in the bottom of the oven and put together a whole bunch of batter that looks like a bread, that has a terisa and a hama, now again, you're going to be mechuyev. Okay, those halachas are very important. The Baal Masayim over here told me that he just learned a sugya. Didn't you just tell us to me? Didn't you just learn a sugya of when you make kutach? Who was telling me about it before the shir? Somebody was telling me right before the shir that he just learned. Oh, who was it? Chaim told me about it. Where is he? Oh, I don't see him now. On the way in, he told me he learned salam in the skala. If when you started to make something, it was made, you made kutach. Who knows what kutach is?
Dairy.
Huh?
Dairy.
Dairy what?
Dairy cream.
Dairy dip, right? In the old days, every bread was eaten with dip. What are the three types of dip that they had in Shas that they always ate? Huh? Kutach is one. What's the second?
Morayas.
Huh? Morayas. What's the third? Seer.
Yeah.
First of all, why do they always eat bread with dipping? What's the reason? Because they didn't. Because when they made bread, they didn't have something that's called a plastic bag. So since they didn't have a plastic bag, a day later, the bread was old. Nobody threw out bread. Since they didn't throw out bread, what did they do with it? They had to dip it. There were three types of dip. Kutach was a milchige dip made from milk and moldy bread. That's what kutach was made from, hard bread. You had afterwards, what was the next item that you had? Tzir. Tzir is clear herring juice. And marayas is white herring juice. That's the herring juice that the fish gets mixed in and it turns white. Those were the three dips that they had. Lechem ha'asi kikutach. If you made the bread, the dough, in order to make kutach, it would depend. When you made the bread, if it looks like a dough, so then there's always a hashash that you're going to complete it like a bread if you want to. you take challah. If when you made the lechem, you did not make it like a bread, then you don't take challah. I want to conclude by saying with one more halacha, which is a very interesting halacha. We'll conclude with this question. Okay? I get a call from a woman a while back, frantic. Just listen to this case that happened. Let's see how you would pass from this question. The question is like this. She went, two questions I'll ask you. She went and she baked challah together with her daughter. And she had her dough she made challah from. Her daughter was supposed to take challah from her share. Right afterwards, her daughter went out of the house and she took challah. And she figured her daughter was going to come back. In the interim, she forgot that her daughter didn't come back. So she made 10 challahs and she put all 10 in the oven. 5 were hers, 5 were her daughter's. And 5 of hers she took challah from. The 5 of her daughter's she didn't take challah from. She can't recognize now which challahs in the oven she took challah from and which ones she didn't. What should she do? One question. I'll tell you another question. Another question. The other question was a woman took challah. And she had a child playing in the kitchen. And the child playing in the kitchen accidentally went and mixed the challah back into the dough. So now you have one dough that has challah mixed into the challah. These are the two questions. Nope. You get a phone call. It's Erev Shabbos. I was hungry. What's that? Huh? Take again? Problem. In order to be mafresh challah, you always have to be mafresh minha chiyev alaktur. If you're going to be mafresh from the challah, and part of the challah is actual challah, so you're not mafresh minha chiyev alaktur, so it doesn't work. And from aktur alaktur, you can't be mafresh. So you got a very big problem when you have a mixture. So what do? The Ramah comes, and the Ramah has this brilliant concept. The Ramah says that there's a very special process that we do every year, Erev Rosh Hashanah. What do you do every year, Erev Rosh Hashanah?
You
do Ataras Nedarim. You find 3 Rabbanim, you do Ataras Nedarim. He says, you know what? In the halacha, Shay'alan ala Hegdashis. You can be Shoyal on Hegdash. So he comes up with the following Kiddush. After it's challah ready, you should be Shoyal. You should go to a Chacham. And the Chacham should be Mataneder retroactively that challah was never taken. And once the Chacham is Shoyal retroactively that challah was never taken, then thereafter, you have the ability to take challah all over again. Quite a plan. The Taz, it's one of the longest Tazes in Hilchos Challah, is extremely disappointed with this plan. Why is he so disappointed? And he says, if this premise was true, if a person went into the base, went and took a carbon, and he bought a carbon betumah, and he's mechuyev misa, you know what he can do? He goes to Bezdin, and before they put him on death row, what he does is, he gets another Bezdin, to be mataneda that the carbon was never a carbon. Would that work?
Yeah.
Yes, the Taz says no. Because if that's the case, you can't give a proper hasra because it's always a hasra a suffix. Why is a hasra a suffix? Because maybe you'll be mataneda. That's the problem that the Taz said. What's that?
My lower mark is the Taz answered that question already. So why is the Taz bothered by it?
No. So I get the kasha, the long Taz. The Taz also has another point. The Taz's main point is that a Taurus Nadara means not like Hafaris Nadorim, where you just wave the nether. Hataris means that the Chacham finds a Pesach.
Charata.
And the Pesach of Charata is that had you known so and so, you wouldn't have done this. He says, that's not a Pesach of Charata. What's a Pesach of Charata? Because you did something wrong later. Pesach of Charata means you don't want to take Chal in the first place. That's not a Pesach of Charata. Pesach of Charata has to be in the Ikka HaFrasha. There's a reason why you didn't want to be Mafresh. Not that later another incident took place. That's the problem that he has. So, but Lamaisa the remote pastors this. So that's a great answer. I want to say thank you very much for listening. We did a nice little discussion about Chala. What's that? Amazon Zed Sarabanon. And Sarabanon Kadesh Shtak Chal Mi Yisroel. It's Manazeh. You can be silent on it. That's the psak of the remote. Good evening, everybody.